Today's daf is Tevav. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Yud Dalet Amud Bet, Ha'erchin. Okay, so going back to the Mishnah had said, Ha'erchin Ha'mitaltalin, which when we learned it, we said, what exactly does that mean? We'll get to it in the Gemara. So now we're going to get to it. My Ha'erchin Ha'mitaltalin. Amar of Gidol, okay, you can see from the chart, we're going to have three different interpretations as to what it is. Okay, so use your sheets. What exactly does this mean? Amar of Gidol Amarav, Ba'omer Erech Kli Ze'alai. What's the problem with this statement? Usually, erchin is, from the Torah, we know it means the value of a person. So how could you have erchin amitaltalin? So he says, if a person says, I'm going to give the value of this kli, I'm going to give to the Beit HaMikdash. Tamar of Gidol Amarav, ha'omer erech kli ze'alai, noten damav. If you say that I'm going to take the value of this kli and I'm going to put it on hekdesh, then what you mean is, you want to give the value of this kli. You don't want to give this kli, right? You're giving the value of the kli, and you have to get to it. My time, Adam yodea she'en erech lakli, v'gamar v'amar lashum damim. That he knows that there's no particular value given by the Torah for the value of a kli, right? It says the value of a male at a certain age, then the value of a male at a different age, and the value of a woman. Those all have values. But when he says erech kli ze'alai, he knows that we're not resorting back to the erchin that are mentioned in the Torah, because those are only relating to people. So obviously what he means is, evaluate the value of this kli. And therefore, mishum hachi noten damav. So hi, now the Gemara says, wait, but this doesn't make sense, because if that's what it meant, what should it have said? Hi erchin hamitaltalin? Doesn't make sense. In general, the lashon of the Mishnah is strange. Erchin hamitaltalin. So what should it have said? Erchin shel mitaltalim, right? It should have said the erchin of the mitaltalim ibayile. That's what it should have said. So what's the obvious answer? Oh, change the wording of the Mishnah. What it really means is, tenei erchin shel mitaltalim, which we're not always happy when they change wording of Mishnayot. On the other hand, the wording itself is a strange type of wording anyway. So it doesn't bother us as much to change the wording here. Rav Chista Amar Avimi. Rav Chista said the name of Avimi. Option number two. B'matpis mitaltalin le'erchin. Okay, this is a case where somebody says, he says, I'm going to give the value of myself to the Beit HaMikdash, but now how is he giving it? He's giving it through a kli. He's taking a kli that's the same value as whatever the erchin of a person is, and he's matpis, he's transferring it onto mitaltalin. So according to this, they're going to say, again, there's a problem. Hi erchin ha-mitaltalin. Again, the lashon doesn't make sense. It should say mitaltalin shel erchin. It should be mitaltalin, right, that are taking the place of the, that are coming to pay off the erchin. Mibayale. That's what it should have said. So again, what did they answer? Tanei mitaltalin shel erchin. Okay, so just say it very simply. Rabbi Avahu Amar, third option, be'omer erki alai. He says the value is, right, I'm going to put the value of myself I'm going to give my value to the Beit HaMikdash. And then what happens? Rashi says here, ve'ino porea. He doesn't take care of it. So what happens? Now he's like a Baal Chov to the Mikdash. So, ba kohen ligvot mimenu mitaltalin. So then the Kohen comes to take mitaltalin from him. So if he comes to take mitaltalin bishlosha, we do it in front of shlosha, we evaluate what's the value of the mitaltalin. In other words, let's say you owe whatever amount of money it is. So what's the value of the mitaltalin that match up to that money? Karkaot, if he comes, the Kohen comes to assess in karkaot, then we say ba'asara. Amrele Rav Achami Difti LeRavina. So now Rav Achami Difti is going to have a question on this last answer. He says, Bishlama la'afuke mehekdesh be'inan shlosha. We understand when you want to take, let's say you said the value of something is going to be hekdesh, like the first two cases. Either you said, erech klize alai, or you said, I'm going to take this metaltalin and give it instead of myself. So then we understand you need shlosha, because they have to evaluate what's the value of this item and make sure you don't undervalue the item. And then, what are you really trying to do? You want to, let's say you said this kli is, erech kli ze. So the kli is now hekdesh until you remove the value from it. So if you undervalue it, then some of it's still going to be owed to the Beit HaMikdash. But l'achnis something to Hekdesh, which is the Kohen wants to come along and assess your metaltolin and say, I'm taking this to the Beit HaMikdash. Who cares if he overvalues it? In other words, see, he's just taking more of your stuff. Lamali. So Amar Lei Svarahu. No, it's actually logical, he answers him. Mali Yule Mali Afuke. What's the difference whether you're bringing something into Hekdesh, or you're trying to take the Hekdesh off of it, and as you're machnisa to Hekdesh, or you're taking it out of Hekdesh, you want to be turn it into a monetary thing? Afuke Mai Taima Dilmatai. Yule Nami Dilmatai. In both cases, you can make a mistake and mess up with Hekdesh. What if you undervalue the metaltolin? Let's say the Kohen comes, he takes your metaltolin, and he doesn't do the value right. Now, the whole thing to do it in front of three is to make sure the value is right. If he undervalues it, then you're going to end up not having paid all of what you owe to the Beit HaMikdash. So the mistake can happen either by under or over, depending on the situation. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Echad Mehem Kohen. He says, when you do this Erchin, write the Erchin and the Metaltolin, so you have to do it with one person being a Kohen. So Amar Le Rav Papa Labaye Bishlama Le Rabbi Yehuda Hainu Dechtiv Kohen. It said Kohen in the Pesukim there. So it was obvious why you need a Kohen. Ela Le Rabbanan, but remember, Rabbi Yehuda is coming to disagree with Tanakama. Tanakama said you don't need a Kohen. So Kohen Lama Lehu. Why does it say Kohen in the Pasuk if you don't need a Kohen? So the answer is Kasha. We don't have a good answer. Okay, and the next question also, we're not going to have a good answer. Hakarka'o tish'a v'kohen. When it comes to land, if you evaluate Erchin with land, again, depending on how you interpret it, tish'a v'kohen, you need 9 plus a Kohen. So mena nimile, Amar Shmuel, asara kohenim k'tuvim b'parasha. The word Kohen appears 10 times in the parasha, in that section. So what do we say about these 10 times? Chad legufe, one is to teach you that you specifically need a Kohen. And Hanach and all the rest, Havi mi'ut achar mi'ut, ve'em mi'ut achar mi'ut, ele l'rabot. Tafilu tisha yisrael ve'chad Kohen. How does this work? If you had 10 places where it says Kohen, so what do you assume? You'd need 10 Kohanim. But we have this concept that e'em mi'ut achar mi'ut. What's a mi'ut? A mi'ut comes to tell you it can only be something very specific. So if you start with Kohen, so that's already a mi'ut. And then you say Kohen again, that means only a Kohen can do it. Well, that's a mi'ut achar mi'ut. And there's a klal that ein mi'ut achar mi'ut, ela lirabot. It comes to include more things. So what is it coming to include? You start with a Kohen, and then after that, all the extra Kohanim can be Yisraelim. It comes to include more things. So now they ask a question. Matzkef la'Rav Huna, b'rei d'Rav Natan, ema chamisha Kohanim v'chamisha Yisraelim. If we say ein mi'ut achar mi'ut, ela lirabot, then we start mi'ut, then we do lirabot. Then we're already not a mi'ut anymore. So then we have mi'ut and then l'rabot. Mi'ut, l'rabot, mi'ut, l'rabot. You'd end up with 5 Kohanim, 5 Yisraelim. And again, the Gemara answers, Kasha. You're right, it's difficult. Okay. Next one. Adam kayotze bahen. Okay, when you get to a case of a person of Erechin, it's just like the metaltolin. I'm sorry. The metaltolin is 3, and then maybe one of them is a Kohen, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The karka is 9 plus a Kohen. And the Adam is just like the karka. So Adam kayotze bahem. So now they say, Adam mi kadosh is an Adam kadosh that you have to start, is it like you're trying to remove the kadusha from him when you say erchin? And when you say erchin, you're not saying, I'm makdish this person to the Beit HaMikdash. All you mean is you're putting the value of him. So it's not like he's kadosh that you have to remove the kadusha from him. So Amar Rabbi Avahu, Beomer, Damai Alai. All right, hear what we mean one second. We're not talking about actual Erchin, right? One second. The question here is about... Right, in other words, the assumption is that here he says the person is kadosh, but a person doesn't have kedusha that we have to then take the kedusha off of him and come up with a value. So what do they say? It's a case where the person said, damai alai. I'm putting my value into the Beit HaMikdash. Ditanya haomer damai alai, shamino to ke'eved hanimkar b'shuk. Okay, so now what do we say? If somebody says, I'm giving my value to the Beit HaMikdash, What we mean is we have to figure out what the value of a person would sell himself into slavery in the shuk, and that's the value that he gives. And if he's like an eved, then what? What do we always say? Eved ith kashla karka'ot. An eved is like karka, and therefore you need to do it in front of 10. Okay, now we have another question. By Rabbi Avin, se'ar ha'omed ligazez bekama, ki gazuz dame u'b'shlosha, o k'mechubar dame u'b'asara. It's a very strange question. Okay, hair has value. Imagine nowadays, right? People want to make wigs out of hair. It's very valuable hair. So if you say, I'm putting the value of my hair, I'm giving the value of my hair, the question is it if it's hair that can be cut? So do we view it, that's ready for cutting, do we view it as if it's already cut, in which case it's going to be like metaltalin, and you judge it in front of 3? Or is it considered mechubar, because it's attached to your body, and it's ba'asara? So, tashma, they say we learn it from here. Hamakdish et avdo, if you make your eved hekdesh, ein mo'alimbo, there's no chiyuv of me'ila. Okay, right, that's if you use it, you get hana'ah from it, you're not allowed to get hana'ah from hekdesh, doesn't apply to an eved. But Rashbag omer mo'alim b'sa'aro. Rashbag says it's true about the eved, that he doesn't have kedusha to the sense that there's me'ila for it, but there is me'ila for his hair. V'kaimalan, and it was said about this machloket, de'b'sa'aro ha'omed ligzoz plige. The dafka, this machloket, is only talking about hair that's ready to be cut. Okay? Shmamina, and therefore, what can we assume from here? That hair that can be cut, right, according to Rashbag, is considered like metaltalin. Okay? So now they're going to say, Neima hane tanai, kahane tanai. Why don't we assume then that this machloket tanaim is just like another machloket tanaim, where we have not se'ar that's omed ligazez, but we have crops that are ready to be cut, and we're going to be talking about grapes. Ditnan. Rabbi Meir omer, yesh dvarim shehen kikarka, ve'enan kikarka. There's some things that are like karka and aren't like karka. Ve'en chachamim modim lo, but chachamim disagree with him. So ketzad, okay, you can follow on the chart also. Eser kfanim tu'unot masarti l'cha. I say I sold you 10 vines that are full of, I gave you, like it's a pikadon and you have to return them, or I lent to you, okay? 10 kfanim that were full of grapes. V'hala omer, einan ela chamesh. He was really only 5. Now, we know that there's this concept of moda b'miktzat. What happens if you're moda in part of something that you owe? What do you have to do? You have to take a shvua on the rest, right? And then you can be putzer. So if you say, Enan ela chamesh, you only gave me 5, you have the opportunity, if you're moda b'miktzat, to swear on half of them and not pay back the other half. So now the question is, though, moda b'miktzat only applies, generally we talk about a loan or a pikadon, to mitaltalin, not to karka. It doesn't apply to karka. So depending on how you view this, so Rabbi Meir's mechayev, because what does he say? One second. Shem kikarka ve'enam kikarka. Wait one sec. Right, Rabbi Meir's mechayev the shvua moda b'miktzat because... Right, because he's... Right, so he's mechayev a shvua moda b'miktzat, okay? And chachamim, right, so what are chachamim omrim? Kol mechubar lekarka hareu kekarka. We view this as karka, and therefore there's no shvuat moda b'miktzat because there's no moda b'miktzat on karka. Va'amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina. Again, what's the case here? Right, I already kind of indicated this is the case, but right now he just said I gave you 10 kfanim full of grapes. So now Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina banavim ha'umdot li batzer askinan. They were talking about grapes that were ripe, not that I gave you, they were full of grapes and the grapes weren't ripe yet. He means I gave you a field full of ripe grapes. So now, again, how do we view it? Mar savar kibitzurot damyan, that they're considered like they're already cut, in which case it's talush, that's Rabbi Meir. And if he holds it's talush, then, even though it's mechubar, right, it's yeshrem shen kikarka ve'enan kikarka. They're like karka, but they're not really like karka, because they're already ready to be cut, and therefore they're as if they're cut off. And that's going to match from Shem ben Gamliel, who said mo'alim b'saro. There is me'ila by hair, because hair is considered, right, as if it's cut off, even though, right, if it's as long as it's ready to be cut. Umar Savar Lav Kibitzurot Damyan. Right, and Chachamim, who hold that Kolam Chubar Lekarka Reu Kekarka, he holds that they're not considered Kibitzurot. As long as you haven't cut them, they're not cut, they're Mechubar. So now they wanted to say, maybe this is the same Machloket, and now they reject it. They say, lo. Afilu Tema Rabbi Meir, Ad Kan Lo Ka'am Rabbi Meir Hatam. Right? Even if you hold by Rabbi Meir there, you would say he wouldn't hold the same thing there in the other case. Why? Rabbi Meir said, but he said hatam there, because why? Kol kama deshavka lehu mikhash kachshe. If you don't cut those grapes, what's going to happen to them? They're going to rot. And therefore, if you gave someone grapes that were ripe, it's as if they were cut, because the longer they stay on, the worse it is for it. Aval saharo, kol kama deshavka lehu ishtabuche mishbach. Go ask your hairdresser if this is really true. But the longer you leave your hair on, the better it is, right? It's not necessarily true, because we know now that the split ends and it's not good for the hair if it grows longer. But what they're saying is, the longer you grow your hair, the stronger your hair gets. In which case, even if it's ready to be cut, you might not necessarily cut it right away, because it's better for you to keep your hair on. And therefore, it's considered mechubar, so to speak, right? And then, so we wouldn't necessarily agree to Ram Shem Ben Gamliel that there's me'ila by se'ar. Okay, next section of the mission. Now we're getting to Dinei Nefashot. Okay, the second part about Asrim B'Shlosha. This ends the section on all the things that were B'Shlosha. Now, one of the things they talk about in the Dinei Nefashot is the Roveah and the Nirbah, right? Those are the first cases, right? That's a man who sleeps with an animal and a woman who is kind of, so to speak, raped by an animal. Or, you know, she kind of ends up sleeping with the animal, but the assumption always in these kind of things that the woman is passive and the man is more active. So now we're going to say here, Kapasik Vitane, it says, HaRoveah V'HaNirbah. So now we explain that the Roveah is when an animal, right, it's the animal who attacks a woman sexually, but now they're going to say, it doesn't actually say woman there. Loshna Roveah Zachar, Veloshna Roveah Nekeva. In theory, if an animal goes and attacks a man, then, like a Mishkav Zachar with an animal, then the animal would also be Chayav to be judged B'Esrim B'Shlosha. So now they say, Bishlama, now where's the source for all this? Bishlama Roveah Nekeva, we saw this in the Mishnah already, Dichtiv, Beharagta et ha'isha, ve'et ha'behema. So we said right there, the woman, okay, you can look at the psukim here. I quoted them on the page. In Vayikra Kaf it says, Ve'isha she yitain shichvato be'behema. There the man is the active participant. Mot yumat ve'et ha'behema tarogu. They both get killed. Ve'isha she tikrav al kol behema li'riva uta. Where the behema is roveah uta. So now, the second pasuk refers to the nekeva, the roveah nekeva. But roveah zachar menalan, there's no pasuk that talks about a roveah zachar. Here it talks about an ish who sleeps with an animal, but not a roveah zachar, where the animal is the initiator. So what are the answer? There's another pasuk in Shmo Perakaf Bet that I also brought on the page, which is kol shochev in behema mot yumat. So what they're going to say is that pasuk must be referring to a roveah zachar. Dichtiv kol shochev in behema mot yumat. How do we know it's talking about a roveah zachar? From a concept called imeino inyan. Imeino inyan means if we don't need it for something because we already learned it, then it must be referring to something else. So imeino inyan l'shochev, tineu inyan l'nishkav. If it can't be talking about when the man initiates, it must be when the man was slept with, right? It had relations with the man, when the animal was the initiator. And then, so if it's a nishkav, why does it say shochev in behema? Va'avked rachmana b'lashon shochev. The reason why is la'akushe nishkav la'shochev. Ma shochev hu behemto be'esrim b'shlosha, af nishkav hu behemto be'esrim b'shlosha. So they're saying here, it's to say, just like if he initiated, he would be judged be'esrim b'shlosha. Therefore, if the animal initiated and he was the nishkav, it would also be Besrim B'Shlosha. So that's how they darshan, that also the Roveah Zachar would also be Besrim B'Shlosha. Okay, next case. Shur HaNiskal Besrim B'Shlosha. This is a case where Shur attacks a person, kills a person. It says in the Pasuk, HaShur Yisakel V'Gam Ba'alav Yumat. So now we're going to have to figure out what the story with the Ba'alav Yumat. We already talked about, we said the Mishnah, that the Baalim don't really actually get killed. We're going to learn it all here, how we learn that the Baalim don't actually get the death penalty, even though it seems to say it. If you remember, the pasuk there says, im kofer yushat alav, that he can ransom, right, pay a ransom amount instead of his life. So now we're going to deal with all those things. So the first thing they're going to say, how do we know Betzrim Bishlosha? Shenemar, Ashur Yisakel, Vagamba, Lav Yumat. Kimitata Baalim, Kach Mitata Shur. Okay, we're going to say, just like Baalim would get killed in a court of 23, also the Shur. Amarle Abai Lerava, Mimai Dahai, Vagamba, Alav Yumat. Lichim Mitat Baalim, Kach Mitata Shur, Budata. Ema Lekat Lehudata. So here's a big question that we're going to deal with for a little while, which is if Abai asks Rava, you can already see here there's going to be three answers to this question. Two of the answers Rava's going to answer and Abai is going to reject them, and the third one someone else is going to answer. So Abai says to Rava, how can you be so sure that Gamba Alav Yumat is coming to teach you? The reason why they wrote Gamba Alav Yumat is to tell you, just like a person would get judged in 23, also the shul would get judged in 23, maybe it says Gamba Alav Yumat to teach you that the person is really supposed to get killed. If your shul kills someone else, you're responsible for your shul, you're responsible for their death, you should get killed also. So comes Rava, answer number one, he says, Im kein lichtov v'gamba alav v'lishtok. It says, Hashur yisakel v'gamba alav, and you wouldn't need to say anything else. So from the fact that it says Yumat, that comes to teach us there's something else going on here. So then, which would then be that the shur is best from Mishal Shah, just like a person. So Rabbi says, what do you mean? I katav rachmana hachi, if it just said v'gamba alav, what would you have assumed? Hava amina b'skila, right? Because it's a shur yisakel v'gamba alav Yumat. But a regular person who kills someone, his death penalty is saif, not skila. So b'skila, salkadatach, okay, so now Rava rejects this dichia and he says, what do you mean? I have an answer for you. B'skila salkadatach, there's no way you would think it was b'skila. Ihu b'sayif, mamono b'skila. If you kill a person, it would be b'sayif, and if you damage his property, it's b'skila. In other words, if you write Ashur Yisakel, V'gamba Alav, nobody would think in their right mind you're talking about skila. In which case, again, Yumat is still extra, which is what Rav is trying to get at. Yumat should be extra, and therefore it comes to teach us that Ashur and Iskal is Betzrim B'Shlosha. So comes Abai and he says, no, still. Dilma Haide Katav Rachmana Yumat La'akule Ale La'afuke Misayif L'chenek. What might you be trying to say? That maybe if a person... if you don't say Yumat, what would you have thought? You would have thought the Gamba Alav, you would say the person is also gets killed b'sayif. But maybe, one second, right, I'm sorry. What Abai is saying is maybe the Yumat doesn't come for what you think it's coming for. Maybe the Yumat is coming to tell you, yes, this person gets killed, but he gets killed b'chenek and not b'sayif. If you kill a person, you get saif. If you kill a... an animal, you know, I'm sorry, if your animal kills a person, then you only get chenek. So maybe the Yumat is coming to teach you, by the way, we'll see this later on in Sanhedrin, that stam mita is chenek. So when it says mot Yumat, we assume it's chenek. So therefore, comes Abai and he says, the Yumat is needed, you're wrong about this Yumat, it's unnecessary, the Yumat is needed to come tell us, maybe, that the person should get killed b'chenek, and that would be a chidush, because if you were just shotek, we would have assumed it was saif. Now Abai comes and modifies this question, though, and he says, that's only, do you remember the order of mitot beitin? Skila, Srefa, Hereg, V'chenek. So that makes sense according to this, right? Hanicha laman damar, chenek chamur. Oh wait, no, it would be the opposite. Afuke misayef l'chenek. Chenek chamur misayef. Ikata v'chmane yumat. Wait, I think I have it, the opposite. According to this, Iyu b'sayif, Mamono b'skila. That's what it is. Sorry. Yeah, I was right about it, but I misunderstood the wording here. What he's saying is that Rava, in other words, we can answer Rava if we say that chenek is chamor, because then this whole thing makes no sense if you say chenek is chamor. I told you the order, skila, srefa, herek, v'chenek, that's the basic, that's the way we pass it. But there's a different order, which is srefa, skila, herek, chenek, v'herek. It's the opposite. Okay, both are switched. Both the first two and the last two are switched. So Rabbah would make sense if you said the chenek was chamor, because then you obviously wouldn't have the yumah to teach you he gets less, right? He certainly wouldn't get a worse punishment than if he had actually killed the person himself. So ela leman d'amar chenek kil ma'ika le'meimar, but according to, if you say chenek is kal, then I have a good claim against you, Rabbah. So then he says, okay, so fine. You're right, he says, Rabbah. That's not a good enough proof. So I'll give you another reason. Remember, Rav is trying to say Yumad is extra, right, to teach you the 23. Lo salkadatach dichtiv im kofer yushat alav. V'is salkadatach barkat lehu v'haktiv lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeh. So what is he saying here? It says im kofer yushat alav. What does that mean? It means it says right away, but if he wants, he can pay his way out of death, right? Meaning he doesn't have to get killed. What does Rava say? Abaye was trying to say maybe the person actually needs to get killed. Comes to Rava, very smart. What does he say? According to the Pesukim in Bamidbar Lamed Hey, where it talks about a Rotzeach b'Shogeg and a Rotzeach b'Mezid, it says, V'lo tikhu kofer l'nefesh Rotzeach. If someone's obligated in the death penalty, he cannot pay his way out. So, what does he say very obviously? If he really was obligated in death, which is what Abaye was suggesting, then he certainly wouldn't be able to pay a ransom, you know, this money to kind of pay his way out. There's no way. So Abaye says, no, dafka the opposite. Adraba. Mishum hi gufa katil, iulo tiskele b'mamona. Ela bekatla. You're right that lo tikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach, that's if he himself killed, he gufakat. If he himself killed, then lo tiskele mamona ela bakatla. Then you can't pay your way out. But katal shoro, but this is a unique halacha where he actually didn't kill biadav. He killed by, right, his animal killed. Then, lifrok nafshe b'mamona, which Abaye then would say like this. If you pay your way out, then you don't have to get killed. But if you don't pay your way out, then you have to actually get killed. And in which case, Yumat means Yumat, and Yumat can't be taught to come tell you about the Yisrim V'Shlosha. So he rejects Rava. So the third option answer given now is Chizkia. Amar Chizkia, v'chein tanid be'chizkia. Amar kra, mot Yumat hamakeh, rotzeahu. Now, what does he say here? Who gets killed according to this pasuk? It's also from Bamidbar there. Mot Yumat hamakeh, rotzeahu. Because he's a murderer. When you call a murderer, when you actually murder someone, biyadayim. Al ritzichato atahorgo, on his own murder you kill him. Vi'i atahorgo al ritzichat shoro. And therefore it's clear from this brayta, the Chizkiah said that Abaye's suggestion is just not right. Okay. I lost my place. Okay. Here's an interesting question. Shur Sinai. What's a Shur Sinai? Okay, you have to go back to the Pesukim. You can look inside it on the sheet I brought them. On Shmot Yotet, what does it say? At Har Sinai, v'igbalte et har saviv lemor, hi shamru lachem alot bahar, unigo b'katzeu, kol anogea bahar mot yumad. Remember, God said everybody has to stay far away from the har. Anyone who touches it mot yumad. Lo tigabo yad, ki sakol yisakel o yaro yare, you'll get skila. Okay. Im behemaim ish lo yichya. What does it say here? Whether it's a behema or whether it's an ish, he doesn't live. So now, if you had a case of a shor sinai, and as we said, a shor in iskal is b'23. What about a shor sinai? What if you were a shor and you were at har sinai and you touched the har? Okay, right? Whoever thought about it. What if that bekama? How many people would they judge you in front of? Mi gamar sha'ami dohot. Do we learn a case of a hora'at sha'a, right? This was a unique halacha given just for one moment in time. Can you learn from there, midorot, from what we do all the time? Olo. So tashma, let's learn it from here. Detani rami b'reiches, Gali brings a breita. Im behemaim ish lo yichye, ma ish b'kohen gadol, af behemah, I'm sorry, b'kaf gimel, af behemah b'kaf gimel. Okay, just like, again, it has, it's like the isha and the, right? Just like ish is 23, also behemah is 23. Okay, now we get to this Ari and Ze'ev. We had a few questions when we learned about these animals, the Ari, the Ze'ev, the Bardilas, remember, the Nachash, and a bunch of others. There's six of them. So we said there was a three-way machloket. Tanakhama said 23. Rabbi Elazar said Kol HaKodem L'Horgan Zacha. And then Rabbi Akiva said, Mitatan Be'esrim V'Shlosha, which sounded just like Tanakama, and we didn't really understand Rabbi Eliezer what he means exactly. So, Amar Rish Lakish, we're going to see this in Machlok, and I mentioned this when we learned the Mishnah. V'hu Shehimito, Avalo Himito Lo. These cases where you kill the Arid, the Ze'ev, all these animals that are wild animals, are only animals that actually killed a person. But if they didn't kill a person, then we don't kill them. Alma Kasavar is very interesting. According to him, what does he hold? Yesh lahen tarbut v'yesh lahen ba'alim. These are people that can have owners and they can be domesticated. They can be tamed. There's an assumption that you can tame one of these animals, in which case not every lion or bear or cheetah or leopard or snake is dangerous. Okay, they can be domesticated. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afa pisha lohimito. You can see one of these animals, you can bring them to court, and you can kill them in court. And according to Rabbi Elazar, you can just kill them on the street if you see it. You don't even have to bring it to court. You're allowed to do it yourself because they're very dangerous. Alma kasavar, ein lehem tarbut ve'ein lehem ba'alim. They can't be domesticated. Now we have to explain Rabbi Eliezer. Tana. Rabbi Eliezer omer, kol hakodem lehorgan zacha. Bishlama, really we're using this now as a question. Bishlama le'Rabbi Yochanan. Lamai zacha. If you say kol hakodem lehorgan zacha, and he actually hasn't killed anybody, then what does it mean zacha? So you see a lion on the street, you're allowed to shoot it, and zacha, what does it mean zacha? Zacha la'oran, you get to take its skin and use it, right? There's the value to that animal. So you win, basically. Ela l'Rish Lakish l'may zacha, what did you win? According to Rish Lakish, kevan shehi mito, he's like a shor and iskal. What do we know about a shor and iskal? I don't know if you know this. Shor and iskal is a sur bahana'a. Okay, you can't benefit from any part of it because it says there in the pasuk, I forget the exact words, but it says you can't eat it. So if you can't eat it, the assumption is you can't get any hana. So kevan shemito shavina rabbanan keman de gamar dinayu. Since he killed it, it's as if it had gamar din. Okay, and therefore v'yisurvayana aninu. Okay, and wherefore it's a sorbana. So now what do they answer according to Rish Lakish? Ma zacha zacha l'shamayim. He gets brownie points up in heaven. Because he took care of, you know, he prevented other people from getting killed from this animal. Tanya kavate de Rish Lakish. But now we're going to say there's proof for Rish Lakish. We're going to support this last opinion that we said about Rish Lakish. Echad shor shehimid, v'echad behema v'chaya shemito. You can already see where this is going. Only if they killed it, says here. Bekaf gemal. Okay, and Rabbi Lezer omer, shor shehimid, be'esrim v'shlosha, ushar behema v'chaya shemito, kol hakodem lehorgan zacha behen l'shamayim. Okay, so then Rabbi Lezer says, shor shemit, right, is b'esrim v'shlosha, and any other animal, shemito, kol hakodem lehorgan zacha. In other words, that matches his opinion on our Mishnah. Only a shor is, right, you bring it to court, but any other animal you're allowed to kill on your own. And then it says here, exactly as we answered, which is, what's the zacha? Zacha behen l'shamayim. Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva omer, again, what do we have the problem? Rabbi Akiva hainu tanakama. They both said esrim v'shlosha. So what do they assume? So he says mitatan be'esrim v'shlosha. Let me just see if I have the word there. If I'm missing a word, what does he say? Go back to the Mishnah. Right. He just says mitatan be'esrim v'shlosha. No, sorry. Yeah, mitatan be'esrim v'shlosha. So what do we assume? He must be disagreeing about something. So they say ika be'enayim nachash. He must disagree about the nachash. When he says mitatam b'esrim v'shlosha, he's talking about the ze'ev, the nemer, the bardalas, the ari, and the dove, but he's not talking about the nachash. Okay, whereas Tanakama is including the nachash. Okay, ein dani. Now we have this other part about, now we get to the shivim b'echad. Ein dani lo at hashevet. Remember, that was the first thing. You can't judge a shevet. So it wasn't so clear from the pshat there. What do we mean when we say a shevet? What are we judging the shevet about? Hi shevet dechata b'mai. What did they sin about? Ilem a shevet shechilel et haShabbat. Let's say they all were mechalel Shabbat. Imor depalig rabbanan ben yechidim lemerubin l'inyan avodat kochavim b'shar mitzvah mipalig. The only place where we see a distinction between a whole group of people doing something as a unit is avodah zarah. So why would we think that shar mitzvah, that there's a distinction if a whole huge group does it together? So what's the obvious assumption? That it's they went to worship avodah zarah. But ela b'shevet shudach lemeimer b'dibedina derabim dininan le. Come on, you want to assume that you're treating this like an irani dachat? Doesn't go lo k'rabbi Yoshi, lo k'rabbi Yonatan. It doesn't match. either of the shitot of Tanaim that we know. Titanya, ad kama osim ir anidachat. There's a machloket. What's the minimum and maximum number of an ir anidachat? Me'asara va'ad me'ah. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says an ir anidachat is no less than 10, because 10 is like a neida, we saw this the other day, and no more than 100, because already at that point, it's a tzibur and not an ir. Okay, things leave the realm of ir and go into tzibur, and then already it's not an ir anidachat. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Mikuf, an ir is not 10 or 20 or 30. It's got to be 100. That's a city. Ve'ad rubo shel shevet, until the majority of a shevet is doing it. Afilu Rabbi Yonatan, lo kamar ela rubo. Aval kulo, lo. He only says until the majority of the shevet, but it's clear that he thinks the maximum is the majority, not an entire shevet. Entire shevet is already something totally different. So Amrach Matna, Hacha benasi shevet shechata askinan. When we say lo ata shevet, we're talking about a head of a shevet. That's what we're talking about. He gets judged b'shivim v'echad. So now they say Milo Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava Kol Davar Gadol Yaviu Elecha Dvarav Shel Gadol Hainami Gadolu. Okay, in other words, he matches what he says there, which is right. Kol Davar Gadol Yaviu Elecha goes to Moshe. Right, that's what Yitro said. Right, anything big goes to you. What does it mean, big? Someone big. Right? We know if there's a high profile case, right, it's going to go to the higher court. It's not going to be judged in a small court. We'll just go on a little bit more to finish the sugya. Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar Bibaina Liskena Chalot. I'm sorry, Ula Amar Rabbi Elazar. Ula says the name Rabbi Elazar. What was the case? It's not the Nasi of a Shevet, it's Bain Aliskena Chalot Ukitchilata Shel Eretz Yisrael. It's talking about they are coming about things that Shvatim dealt with, which is Nachalot. And just like in the beginning of Eretz Yisrael, when we conquered the land, Matzilata Shivim Ve'Echad, just like in the beginning, everything was done, the Nachalot were distributed by the courts of Shivim Ve'Echad, Afkan Shivim Ve'Echad. So they say, wait, if we're going to say it's just like it was when they got into the land, I Matzilata Kalpi Urim B'Tumim B'Chol Yisrael, Afkan Kalpi Urim B'Tumim B'Chol Yisrael, if you want to say it's just like there, then you're going to have to say we need a Kalpi, we need to do a Goral, we need to do Urim B'Tumim, we need all Yisrael to be there. That doesn't make any sense. And therefore, they reject Ula's answer. Ela mechuvarta kid Rav Matna. Okay, they say it must be like Rav Matna. We're just going to continue to the two dots for today. Ravina amara le'olam. So we have Rav Matna who says it's nasi shevet. We have the second opinion, it's nachala, which we reject. The third opinion is b'shevet shehudach, which is how we explain the Mishnah then. It is irani dachat. Udekakashale b'dina derabim d'aninan le. And you said, but wait, isn't this a dina derabim? And how could you do it like, right? It's not like an irani dachat. No, it's true. It is like an ir anidachat. Now, what's the difference between an ir anidachat? I didn't specify this before. If you're an ir anidachat, everyone gets killed b'saif. If you're an individual who worships avodah zarah, you get judged b'skila. So the death is much more severe. So now they're going to say that this is like an in-between. Once you have the entire shevet worshiping avodah zarah, what do we say? Your death is biyachid, you get skila, but beidina de rabim daininale, but it has to be judged in the court of Shavim Bechad. Milo amar of Chama, amar of Yossi, amar of Yoshia, votseta eta isha hu, o eta isha hi, ish vi sha ta motzi la sharecha, via ta motzi kola ir kula la sharecha. Hachanami ish vi sha ta motzi la sharecha, via ta motzi kola sheve kulo la sharecha. Okay, this is saying, at the very end here, this is saying that, right, the context of this pasuk is, if a person worships avodah zarah, then you take them out to the sharecha, but you don't take the Ir kulo the sharecha, it goes to the Sanhedrin Agdola, right? The sharecha, we're assuming we're talking about the small courts, okay? The local courts. So an isha isha get judged in the local courts. But the ir goes to the sharecha, so hachanami, we'd say the same thing. Isha isha, if it's an individual, they go to the small courts, but kol hashevet, you're not going to take the sharecha, you'd obviously have to go to the big court, okay? Which makes sense that there's an assumption, it's actually a very interesting thing that happens here. If you're an individual that worships avodah zarah, we judge you very severely. But if your whole city did it,
we actually judge you a little less severely. And as, yes, it's a very serious thing, you're an idacha, but as a collective. But the individual who did it, we judge him less chamor because he was part of a group. But once it becomes the entire shevet, then you go over the edge. Then we're going to judge the individuals very seriously, but yet it's still viewed as a group, and that's why it's going to go to the Beit Din of Shevim Pechad.